Senior Focus. Kia ora tātou, and talo for lava, and whakalahi atu, and any other languages that you speak. And I say this quite seriously because our guest today is Barbara Holloway, who is a resident of the inner city and who's been involved in language and culture and diversity and promotions of these things in Auckland City for a long time in various ways. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you.
And I noted your very wonderful Samoan greeting for Samoan Language Week last week in my inbox. Thank you. It's always good to have people who are walking the talk and practicing things that are important. So I've invited you into the show this time because it's time we had more feedback from seniors who are making proactive decisions, long range, into the next decade, looking ahead, and they're assessing their own needs and how those are best met. And quite often people can fall prey to certain forms of advertising that suggests that you're going to be more secure and safer if you're in a retirement village. And they do play on this a bit, I've noticed, with the ads. And while that is a valid option for many people, it's not going to suit everyone. And in fact, only 11% of seniors are in retirement villages. And I think it's really part of the focus of this program is to bring people into situations where they can hear from others who have wrestled with the problems of how to look after themselves and or cater for their needs as they transition into different decades of their older age, and how they do that, what process they use, and what are the factors they weigh up and how do they weigh them up. And so that's why I've invited you, Barbara, today, and I welcome you as someone I've known for quite a few years now with your role heading the K Road Business Association back in the day when I was going to court over liquor licences. And I can also testify to your leadership and art projects across the city, which has been phenomenal. And you still have a full-time senior role in council. But you're not here representing council. We'll make that quite clear. You're here in your capacity as a private person who makes intelligent decisions, and we're interested in your process. So would you like to start with some giving us a steer as to what decade you're in now, and when did you first consider living in the inner city?
Well, greetings everyone. I will be 70 in October, and I come from a family of long-lived women. My mother died at 103, and she didn't go into a rest home until she sold her house when she was 98. So we're really long-lived, so you've got to start thinking about, you know, what do you want your future to be? And I think I started thinking about moving into the city when I was about 60. Mm-hmm. And then my son and his wife and grandson were living with me, and they went to live in Indonesia. And I had two giant old wooden houses on a vertical half an acre in the bush in the Waitakere. And once my son was gone, you know, I was spending my weekend cleaning gutters. I had septic tanks. It was just way too big a property to manage on my own as I got older. So once they left, it took me 3 years to leave. I was quite traumatised. I bought the house when I was 23 and I left when I was 63. So 3 years of very hard decision making, and I moved into the inner city at the age of 63.
Wow.
So it took me 6 months to adjust. So I went from a huge bush property with viewing no houses to living out of my front door. I can see 13 tower blocks, and I live in a very small tower block of 6 floors. So it was a radical shift. But the indicators that made me leave were the property maintenance is too big for a 60-something-year-old and too difficult and too expensive. I lived 8 minutes' drive from West City, so every supermarket trip was a, you know, a 20-minute return. I was still working, so every trip home and at night was an hour and a half on the northwestern. I do events, so one night from one of those big storms, I got swept across a couple of lanes. And I thought, And I had known all of my neighbours, and our children had grown up together, and gradually people had passed away or divorced or moved to another place. And so I no longer knew all my neighbours. So with a combination of losing that neighbourhood community, still working with all the travelling and a giant property, I knew I needed to go to somewhere much smaller. And of course the other thing is I was doing these lovely events or visiting them and spending an hour and a half on a Saturday driving, and I don't know how much for parking. Whereas now it's a completely different story. So my world now is I wake up, because there's no maintenance, I wake up on a Saturday and think, will I go to the art gallery? Will I go down and have coffee with a neighbour at the Britain Art Markets? Everything is 7 minutes walk almost, the Britain Art Station, the art gallery, the giant supermarket on Quay Street. I've had older friends who don't have children or family, and they've been in Auckland Hospital, and it's been $7 for me on an Uber to go and sit with them through the night. I don't have a car anymore. Everything's, of course, free with the gold card. I've got friends on Waiheke and Devonport. So just in terms of transport, you know, I've swapped to a doctor on Queen Street and a chemist. It's just been incredible for me. For the first time in 40 years, I can walk 7 minutes to everything you'd ever want.
That is a wonderful statement. It encapsulates it all. Yes.
And, of course, community-wise, you've got the lovely Ella Melville Centre, which is also 6 minutes from my house, where they have everything. You know, I've been to free Korean lessons. They have free Mahjong lessons. Whether you want to meet young or old people or people from another culture, they've got something on 6 days a week. So, to me, it's actually made me younger living in here, because I walk more and I meet a wider range of people. Out where I lived in Mountain Road, you know, most people were very similar to me. Not in my work, but in my home. Whereas here, there's just, you know, gorgeous young people everywhere from all over the world, and they're very respectful. And it's just, yeah, it's been absolute magic. So I would hope, if I keep well, that I would get at least another decade living in here.
It sounds like a very good recipe and well thought out. And I particularly like the idea of how the 7 minutes to everywhere, but in particular to the community hub in Ellen Melville Hall. I think having a facility like that, particularly it's been upgraded more recently, and I think there's a lot more attention gone into what happens there, so that it's aiming to draw in people who are living in the inner city, because there's more people living in the inner city now. So I think it's really a great asset that you have on your doorstep.
And the library's great here. You can go and that's 10 minutes walk. You can go and do the repair cafe. They have, you know, readers groups. If you want to volunteer, you can help at all different things. I come from the days when my grandmother taught me to darn everything from socks upwards. And Kay Road has a lovely community festival once a month, and me and another girlfriend who's in her 60s, we go up for free for fun and have a table showing people how to mend and how to embroider. That's our morning, that's our Saturday.
Wow. And which Saturday of the month? Which Saturday of the month does this happen?
I'm not sure which Saturday FAM's on, but it's called FAM, F-A-M, which is short for family. And it's a lovely free family festival every month.
Okay, I'll look out for that.
I got there and embroider. I mean, one lady I did, I darned 8 holes in her jumper, but she and her girlfriends came and sat with us, and they're in their 50s and unmarried, and it was just gorgeous company, you know.
Mm. And this is a true community at work, where people have these serendipitous type connections that they discover.
Oh, yes.
All kinds of synergies with others, yeah.
The other thing too is in a community like this where I live is much younger, you know, the huge amount of people around here are sort of 18 to 35. But they come from cultures that are still really respectful to older people.
Mm.
And they're really cute, and they call me Miss, and, you know, they'll stand up for me on the bus. And, you know, they're really, really sweet-natured. I don't find it threatening or uncomfortable at all living in the city, but I must admit, because of my roles, I've become quite confident. But, you know, I haven't had any bad incidents in 6 years.
Right. And the security and safety issues that get blown up in the media about, particularly about Queen Street and around Aotea Centre, I don't experience those things myself because I travel a lot on buses, and I bus in and out of the city several times a week, and I don't actually meet with any kinds of issues. I mean, I would say I have more issues in my own neighbourhood on the North Shore than I ever have in Queen Street.
Yes, well, I've lived in suburbs where I haven't even wanted to be out at night, but of course the city's so busy at night, you're always surrounded by people. It doesn't mean things don't happen, but I mean, my mother and her generations before them grew up in London. My father and family generations were in Dublin, and a zillion older women live in Paris and all of those cities, so it's not something that's not done, and those women aren't lying awake at night. One thing I have found that is incredibly much safer feeling is I lived in a big property in the bush, so isolated that, you know, if I was in trouble, no one would ever hear or see me. No one would know till my kids that worked out I hadn't answered my phone for 2 days. But in an apartment, of course, you've got your security door, and then my front door's a big wooden fire door, a personal front door, and you can't get into the building without being bailed in, and even if you do, you can't get into people's front doors because they're all on auto lock. So I would definitely say I feel 100% safe sleeping at night, whereas up in the bush, from time to time, I'd hear things and rustling outside, and we did have a few people getting up to mischief out there, and a couple of times the police were in my back garden, which just certainly can't happen inside your apartment building, so it feels very safe.
Yes, I can imagine, and I can see that it's an aspect of living in the inner city that perhaps some people wouldn't have thought about. So thank you for sharing that, but I think it's a really important consideration. Sorry, I was just about to say, having the advantage of modern tech that's built into these apartments, there's added security features that people don't normally live with in their ordinary homes if they're 40, 50 years old.
Oh, absolutely, and we have incredible fire alarms, and it's absolutely gorgeous, and it goes off, not the fire side of it, but you all gather outside, and last time I gathered outside, there was a young woman who had a 2-week-old baby, and I got to hold the baby, and, you know, it was just a really nice group of people of all ethnicities from around the world, and whereas in my giant house, I had all my alarms and everything, but I was always terrified of fire because it was a big old wooden house.
Mm.
Now I'm in a big concrete box, and the fire service arrives instantly. Well, that never happened up in Mountain Road. It took forever to get there. So My brother's been a voluntary fireman for 40 years, so I've always been concerned about fire, and I feel a lot safer with all of my sprinklers and alarms on set up.
Exactly. And I'm just thinking, too, would you have met with any family members or friends or community folk who wanted to discourage you from moving into the city?
No. I am a pretty independent, out there person, to be fair. So, no, everyone thought it would be fantastic for me, and they loved the thought. Actually, they were more worried about me driving down the northwestern in a storm at 11 o'clock at night after a work event than they were about me being in the city walking home for 10 minutes.
Mm. Indeed, yes. I mean, the danger I know from conversations with friends is driving back from the city from events at night is that you just feel suddenly really tired and your concentration wanes. You may find yourself drifting across a lane, or you don't have to need a storm to do it. And you feel very vulnerable when you're in that kind of a situation.
I have good eyesight. Still late at night in the rain, I seemed to be not as seeing as much as I used to, shall we say.
Mm. That's true.
Of course, I'm only 5 minutes walk from the sea as well. And there's so many free things in the city. You know, there's the art gallery. I've been swimming in Brownie's pool in the summer. So yes. There's a free beach swimming, if you can call it a beach, but there's a changing room and everything you need there.
Mm. Yes,
so
the city.
There's something free on 7 days a week, and I can meet people there, and if they're, I'm getting near to working a lot less, you can afford to go to them because there's no fees.
Yes, this is a wonderful advantage. And there are some free things on to give local boards their plug. Local boards across the city do put on some free entertainment or free gathering things, but often there's a lot of things for sale at the same time. So to find things that are totally free in the city is quite amazing, really.
Well, the book festival's just finished, the Writers' Festival, and nowadays 25% of their program is free.
Mm.
So their program had, whatever, just say it had 400 items, 100 of them were free. So you'll be spoilt for choice for free activities if you're like me and you want to be a bit careful with your money.
Yes, it might be a contest as to what you go to. might be the biggest and hardest decision of the week. Yes.
The other, it is, oh my gosh, I could be somewhere 7 days a week if I had the energy, because I don't and I'm still working, but there's just, the thing about living in a place like this is, for me, is it keeps me young.
Mm.
There are young people and young things and fresh things around me. At this stage of my life, I don't want to be around 100 other people who are 70.
Exactly, yeah. I totally understand because where you're coming from.
That's what keeps your mind fresh.
I think that when I remember people I've interviewed in the past who were in their 70s who lived in cities like Paris and London and so on, or Amsterdam, they were in those cultures where older people did live in the inner cities and it was quite normal, and they were very well received and they found it very easy going. And I remember one special friend, Elsie, was ensconced in Paris on the left bank, and she actually moved into an apartment where students hung out, and they often got her free food from the university under their free food scheme, and she got work reading in French to other older people who lived in the inner city, so she actually had a job. And it was quite amazing. She didn't want to come back to New Zealand.
I wouldn't be still working all the time. Well, I'm 4 days, so I'm going down to two, but I wouldn't be still working if I had to drive out into the bush and back every day and every night through the rush hour and the weather. So it's actually eased me into staying at work longer. And then with so many opportunities here, I've always had this fantasy that I wanted to live in Montmartre, Paris, in an apartment. So now I feel I'm in my own little Montmartre because I am close to every kind of eatery, every kind of art gallery, you know, all of the spaces, and then the fantastic public transport when you live in the city centre. I've been doing a pilot project out in Pamure that takes me 17 minutes. I'm sitting on a velvet seat with fabulous security guards on a silent electric train, not using petrol, and looking out at the harbour and the Ōraki Basin. What a way to go to work.
Yes. And there's so much that people can actually discover, even on a day trip into the inner city. And I think that many people, because they get absorbed in the negative press that's broadcast about some of the security and safety issues, they bypass going into the city. Oh, I never go there. I wouldn't go there. And yet, if they were to travel abroad, they would be quite happy to go to other cities and experience the wonders of those inner cities. So it seems to me it's quite strange.
You giggle your point. You're spot on. People go to Paris and London, which are actually quite dangerous cities, or New York, and they won't come into Queen Street. Makes me chuckle. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I wake up with this cornucopia of delightful and international artists. You know, there's a huge Chinese art exhibition on at the moment, which is incredible, in the art gallery. So this is just, I mean, I feel each day as if I'm walking around a little bit of Melbourne or something.
I've certainly been enjoying my travelling in and out, and I'm just reaching that point where I'm beginning to think, maybe it's time to think about reorganising life. I do like being where I am at the top of the shore because I like the nature and the walks on the beach and so on, but I don't like the commuting.
Mum was a... Sorry?
Yes, I guess we could rave on, but at this point I'm just wanting to wind up and say, look, it's been great having you on, Barbara, because you're very stimulating, you're a very flamboyant and active and enlivening personality, and I think that this is good for people to realise that old age can be fun, you can be dramatic and you can be adventurous. You don't have to box yourself in. So thank you very much for coming on.
My mother's last trip into the city centre, she was 103. She loved the city. So thank you for having me.
And I hope you'll still be around at 103 and able to talk on Planet FM. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All right. And to our listeners, we look forward to having you with us next time. Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.
The ocean meets the stream. from Westmoreland, you're an African. So don't care where you come from, as long as you're a black man, you're an African. No mind your nationality, have got the identity of an African. Cause if you come from Trinidad, and if you come from Nassau, and if you come from Cuba, you're an African. So don't care where you come from, as long as you're a black man, you're an African. No mind your complexion, there is no rejection, you're an African. Cause if your flexion high, 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 if your flexion low, and if your flexion in between, you're an African. So don't care where you come from, as long as you're a black man, you're an African. No mind denomination, that is only segregation, you're an African. Cause if you go to the Catholic, you're an African. And if you go to the Methodist, you're an African. And if you go to the Church of God, you're an African. So don't care where you come from, as long as you're a black man, you're an African. No mind your nationality, have got the identity of an African. Cause if you come from Brixton, and if you come from Wednesday, and if you come from Wednesday, and if you come from Bronx, and if you come from Brooklyn, and if you come from Queens, and if you come from Manhattan, and if you come from Canada, and if you come from Miami, and if you come from Switzerland, and if you come from Germany.
Oh,